I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, welcome in. It's your Ute Preview Show. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, and the clapping Frank Dolce.
Hey, I have a question for you, Scotty.
Yes.
By the way, it's great to see you. I'm glad you found a new commitment to the program.
I was in San Diego last week. It was lovely.
Yeah. And then where were you the week before?
Hawaii.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess if those places are more important to you than Hans and this program...
But I was
you
on
should,
the air. That
you should
day.
Do that. I mean, if it's
air.
More important, like, did you need some personal time, or
actually, I wasn't on 2 weeks ago.
You needed some space.
I don't really like the theme of today's show. I like it better when people make fun of Hans, and then instead of going after me.
All I know is I'm sick of dealing with Frank's clap.
Can you wait? I had a question about that.
He does
can
have
you
nasty
hear
case
that?
Of that? Doesn't he?
Can you hear that? When I'm doing that, can you hear that?
Everybody can.
Yeah.
You can hear the background noise.
You could hear it over the kids screaming.
Oh, I'm not sure that's true.
That kid's still
I'm not
screaming,
sure that's true.
But we all heard.
Let me just tell you something. I was listening, coming in. I nearly got into an accident trying to follow along with David Locke. I was on I-15. He started talking about a jab step left, and then. I didn't know where I was all of a sudden.
It happened to Christian Cox, too.
He has more detail available in his mind than most people can watch as it's physically happening.
But did you end up sideways on a road divider?
No, I did not. I was all good there.
Because Christian did.
So, well, that's not...
Oh, man.
That may be more of a... of an indictment on Christian's driving ability than it is
I think
on
that's kind of what we were getting at.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm really happy to be with you guys today.
Well,
thank
we're
you.
Excited you're here because it was a game that had a lot of layers to it. That Oregon game. And did you just snort?
Yep.
And we just got to peel back the layers and see what happened.
Yeah.
Let's
okay.
start with
all right.
your layer of, or your area of expertise, quarterback play.
Okay. Yeah.
Cam doesn't look right out there. Bo Nix didn't look right either, but Bo Nix was still able to come up and play well. How much criticism should be coming Cam Rising's way after that performance?
Oh, I don't know about criticism. Like, to me, criticism is... mistake-ridden.
We got to evaluate
kind
how
of
guys
performance. Yeah, so I'm just saying that... I'm as big a fan of Cam as anybody. I think he's, you know, if he's not the best, he's top two in my history of Utah quarterbacks. I don't think there's any question about that. So
you won.
Yes.
And then Cam two.
And then Cam a distant second.
And then Brian Johnson.
And then everybody else. Well, Alex Smith.
Let me just throw a couple at you.
Mike McCoy.
Tyler Huntley senior year.
Lee Grosskopf.
You like Cam Rising better than Tyler Huntley senior year?
Yeah. I would take.
No offense. Brian Johnson.
No offense.
No kidding. Really.
No offense to Tyler. I would take Cam above Tyler.
What about Brian Johnson? Brian's senior year.
I would absolutely. There's no question about Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson for most of that season was three quarters of super average, one quarter of mastery in almost every game that year.
People just have that Alabama game stuck in their head, or maybe the fourth quarter against Oregon State or some things like that. But you're right. There were a lot of people that – who was the backup that ended up going to Nevada? I can't remember. On that 08 team? Didn't the, there was a backup. I can't remember who the backup
Floyd
was.
Did just say Laux?
Corbin Laux. Yeah, I think that's who it was.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And there were a lot of people that were clamoring for him throughout parts of that season, even when they were going undefeated. So, yeah, you're right. Brian Johnson, his senior year, finished tremendously. But
yeah, unbelievable finish.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's no question, Cam Rising.
So you take Alex Smith and then Cam Rising.
It probably goes something like that.
Okay.
It probably goes something like that. But
who was pre-Alex Smith?
Prior to Alex Smith, Mike McCoy. Darnell Arsenault. I thought you meant previous in the history of Utah football. Previous to Alex Smith, it was
who's the guy that got injured against Texas A&M?
Yeah, he got injured against Brett Elliott.
Brett Elliott then went to like some Division II school and threw for 20,000 yards.
And then ran it up. Yeah, Brett Elliott was directly preceding Alex Smith. And then you had guys before that like Darnell Arsenault.
Darnell. I almost said Harold Arsenault. That's the basketball player.
Yeah.
You feel like you got quarterbacks in the cooker with these two quarterbacks, Nate Johnson and Bryson Barnes?
I like the athleticism of Johnson. I really like the athleticism of Johnson. I think he brings a lot to the table. I'd like to see him in more, you know, under more strenuous circumstances to see how he reacts to that in a football game. And I think we have a pretty good sense of what Bryson Barnes is. I think he can win football games for you. Just on the very small sample size we have, I think Johnson's a guy that might make a little noise.
How, I guess we'll spend more time on this. How much can you work on accuracy once you get into college? Can an inaccurate quarterback become an accurate quarterback? Or do you get to a certain point and that's just kind of who you are?
No, I think you can develop that.
Okay.
Depending on whether or not you want to develop that.
Yeah, if the work ethic's there, you can get there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's true. And then you're limited. Some guys are just limited physically at some point. This is why I'm saying that I'm not going to be too critical of Cam Rising, because I believe that at the moment, physically, he's limited because of injury that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
This is all speculation on my part. And I don't think it's a knee thing. I don't think it's the knee that's bugging him. I think it's a shoulder thing that he's having a hard time with.
So I had four or five offensive films that I had put together showing negative areas where Oregon was blowing them up and destroying them. I actually tweeted a couple just to show people where Utah was getting dominated. There was a play down on the 12-yard line. So Utah is in Oregon's territory. They're on the 12-yard line. And Tavian Thomas gets hit about a yard and a half in the backfield.
Uh-huh.
And he actually fumbled.
He did.
I couldn't believe it.
I thought the same thing.
I went back and reviewed it, and I actually put together a video review of it showing, no, that's a fumble. But Utah got it back. So it's fourth and, what, two, fourth and three?
Mm-hmm.
And Utah runs a play, and Cam Rising throws it out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help me understand.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't.
I need you to work me through it, because I watched it. And then I did a film review on it, and I ended up just bagging it because in my mind, I'm like, there has to be something here. Either did a quarterback coach tell him, hey, if it's not there, just ditch it out of the back of the end zone, and we'll let Oregon take it on their own 12, and we'll see what we can do. I can't – just don't throw the pick in the end zone to put it back out to the 25. I don't even know what to think of it.
I don't know either. To be honest, he's made some plays recently, and I think statistically this will back it up, that are just, for him, you scratch your head.
There are things that I can deal with. in the game of football from a quarterback. There are throws and things. I can even deal with the tip, even though I feel like you had Dalton Kincaid running a five-yard dig. And Cam's standing in the pocket, and he's trying to ditch it down low and inside. And he just hits it right into the elbow of a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
I can even deal with that. He's trying to ditch it down low and throw it out of coverage for Kincaid to come down with. I can deal with that. And that thing pops up high and a defender comes down with. But there are certain situations that it's like, nope, that goes beyond injury. That's not a knee. That's not a shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a really bad decision on an interception that was on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I try to be really careful with my criticisms of quarterbacks. I try to do my homework on it so that when I deliver it, I don't feel like I'm completely out of my comfort zone delivering that information. But, Frank, it feels like Cam Rising could really use himself another year at the college level. It feels like he could really stand to come back and continue to improve his game.
I can't imagine how the season ended and Cam Rising feeling as if
it's time.
It's time to go.
I'm with you.
Well,
and even if it's all injury based, it's like, okay, I can't have that as the lasting impression going into an NFL draft.
I've changed my tune on Cam and the NFL draft for two specific reasons. I used to think that his talent, ability, his season last year, and his proclivity to be injured or to get injured led him to the NFL. Like, it just didn't make any sense for him to come back.
To get going.
To the mm-hmm. college level. But then two things have occurred. One, Hans reminded me that we are in a different age of college football, and Cam Rising is likely making...
Cam's showing up on a lot of commercials.
A few hundred thousand dollars a year. Well, that could absolutely delay the transition to the NFL. Wouldn't it be funny if the NIL kept kids in college longer?
That's what Kyle Whittingham said, not this past press conference, but the one before. And I think he was actually hinting at
Wouldn't that be funny?
At Cam.
Yeah.
And so, saying, like,
he was.
You know, when you're scratching and clawing for a rookie contract, you know how difficult those are.
Oh, yeah.
And they can be taken away. Or you can go another year of school, work on an MBA for free, and, oh, make a few extra $100,000 hawking, you know, debit cards or whatever it is that he's got going for him. And God bless him. I'm not taking any shots.
Well, so that's one thing. And the other thing is he hasn't been able to put together the same year productivity-wise that he did a year ago. At least it doesn't feel the same. We could go back and do a distinct statistical study on the two seasons, but it doesn't feel like he has achieved what he achieved a year ago. And so I don't think his draft stock has improved this year. And maybe that's another reason to come back. And if you really think you have a chance to play in the league, then maybe you come back and try and get that draft stock where you think it should be. And even with all that, this is nothing against Cam. Like I said, I think he's, you know, right in the top two of Utah quarterbacks in my history of Utah quarterbacks. But I don't know that he has the particular skill set that fits the NFL. At least to be a superstar in the NFL. Like, I don't think he has he certainly doesn't have the Aaron Rodgers skill set. He certainly doesn't have the Josh Allen skill set to play in, or even like a Russell Wilson, who's not been great, but has had moments. So, you know, I'm not sure. Once he gets to that next level, if just all of the intangibles, the really, really good things he does, if that's enough to carry him at the next level without also superior physical gifts. I mean, maybe a guy like Peyton Manning, who I still don't think has thrown a spiral in his career. Did he ever throw a spiral when you were with Peyton Manning?
It was one out of every 15.
I don't think I ever saw him
throw a spiral. You know what's funny? It's like... you and Riley Jensen, like you guys that played the position a little bit, you guys dog cuss Peyton Manning like crazy, which is funny, which I don't get because the guy's like one of like the top three quarterbacks of all time. But for whatever
Wait a minute. One of top three of all time?
Brady won. Are you saying Brady's not one?
I'm going to start kicking and screaming how like is, the kid in the other room.
How is Brady not one?
Because Joe Montana is number one.
How is Joe Montana number one?
Because he's the best quarterback
according
of all
to
time.
You, how many Super Bowls did he win?
How many interceptions did he throw in a Super Bowl?
I don't know. Zero?
None.
So? He only went there four times. Brady's been there like a fourth of every Super Bowl play Tom Brady's been in. And I don't even like Tom Brady.
So why?
Like, because you can't. Weird, you got to look at the numbers.
This is a really weird defense of Tom Brady. You don't have to look at the numbers. You don't. If I was starting a football club right now, there's no question.
You're stuck in the 80s, and you got to get out of it.
No, that's none of that's true.
Take me with you.
Yes.
None of that's true.
You are stuck in the 80s.
That's not true.
No,
either.
And it's easy to do. Like we all know what we loved when we were kids, and you loved Joe Montana, and you're a Southern California guy. Like, I get it. I get the appeal there.
Scotty,
But you got to pull yourself emotionally away from it and realize that Tom Brady's a better quarterback.
If I said to you,
Joe Montana.
George Blanda was the greatest. Then maybe we'd have a discussion. But
John Elway is my favorite quarterback.
John
Elway is
probably number two.
But I would put Tom Brady ahead of John Elway because I got to pull my emotions away.
I wouldn't. I think Brady benefited from.
What
lots
is your
of
biggest
other,
fault?
I don't
Tom.
Think Tom Brady is. I mean, I would put him in the top 10 for sure.
Oh, jeez.
What is your biggest faults on Tom Brady?
I just think that Joe Montana had a better command of the game.
Okay.
We can argue that. Who's better? Who's better? Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Who's better?
Michael Jordan.
Well, you're stuck in the 80s.
No, because...
You're stuck in the 80s. Look at the numbers.
What? Okay.
Look at the numbers.
I'll show
you
numbers.
How many championships? How many finals has he been to?
Jordan's got more.
How many finals has he been to?
Jordan's got more championships.
How many teams did Michael Jordan drag into the finals that had no business being there?
A bunch.
None.
Take Jordan off of there. They're not touching the finals.
Take LeBron James off of there, and those guys are playing in the CBA.
Yeah, but Jordan's better. Jordan never lost an NBA finals.
You're exactly wrong. I agree with you, but I'm just using your argument against you.
But I'm using the same argument.
Yeah.
He went to more finals, and he won more finals.
There's no question that Michael Jordan is the...
Yeah.
But statistically... You could absolutely make the case that LeBron James is a better basketball.
Not any basketball
physically
that knows basketball will still take Michael Jordan over LeBron James.
You're okay. Let me take a step back. You're right. I don't understand the game of football, so my Joe Montana might be off. Because I'm more of a
non-football. That one's a little. It's a really bad take on your part.
Outside of being a bad take,
need to be better.
It's true. That Joe Montana is the best of all time.
You need to show me anybody besides named Frank Dolce that
name
believes Joe Montana ahead of Tom Brady.
Okay, by the way, aside from this, Peyton Manning, top three of all time.
Yes.
Who are the top three then?
Tom Brady. I don't know. I need a list on it, but I'm happy to put somebody else in there at two, and then I'd put Peyton Manning three. I think Peyton's ahead of Joe Montana.
Think Peyton's ahead of John Elway?
Yeah.
There's no way. John Elway's
and I'd love
more there, gifted.
There's nobody that's a bigger fan.
More gifted.
We got to get away from this. This is a U preview show. I blame you for this.
Yeah, but it's fun.
You should. I know, just kind of sitting back.
Well, I'm enjoying watching this.
Watching this all
two master
unfold.
Debaters.
I think Steve Grogan might be ahead of Peyton Manning.
You know, Gary Hogaboom. Let's just put him above.
Let's put Dieter Brock ahead of...
Who?
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Vince Ferragamo?
You know, I got that one.
Pat Hayden? I mean, what? Where's Joe Namath fit in this, in the top
three? And by the way, you're just naming UCLA quarterbacks.
No, 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 no. Those were all L.A. Rams quarterbacks at one point.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of hyperbole, I sent out a tweet earlier today that says, I believe Dalton Kincaid is the best offensive NFL prospect in the state. Prove me wrong.
You think Dalton Kincaid is the best
offensive NFL prospect?
Does that include a healthy Keithy?
No. That includes Keithy in his current state.
In current state? Okay. I don't disagree with that.
That includes Puka in his current state. That includes Jaren Hall.
So you're saying if all those guys go in the NFL draft this year, you believe Kincaid is the first one off the board?
Correct.
I don't disagree with that.
I think we get enamored with Puka Nacua because we just don't see many receivers
Because you listen to Alema Harrington too much. And Alema, if you're listening, I love you.
But
Alema loves him some Puka Nacua.
Well, I would go Puka number two. But I think Dalton Kincaid at 6 foot, nearly 6 foot five, 245 pounds. And so I'll tell you where this all came about. Doing Utah film study yesterday morning and then doing some this morning. And watching Dalton Kincaid, even away from the 11 catches that he had for 100 yards against Oregon, watching him away from that, there were a couple of times, like Cam Rising got out of the pocket off the left side once, and Dalton Kincaid led up the blocking and grabbed an outside linebacker and ran him 15 yards and chucked him.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen that? And his blocking ability, again, at 6 foot, nearly 6 foot five, 245 pounds. He does a lot in that regard. But then he doesn't drop things. Everything that he comes his way is caught in double teams. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and we also know the direction of the NFL. How can an NFL team look at – did you guys watch Kittle last night? Like you watch – Kittle, or you watch Kelsey with the Chiefs, or you watch any of these Waller or any of these high-level tight ends in the NFL, and you have to believe to yourself, we need one of those on our team.
Right.
You have to have one of those on your team in order now to be an NFL champion. And Dalton Kincaid has the potential of being that. Extremely fast. Extremely athletic. Very mean. What?
Nothing.
Why are you laughing at me?
He's so distracted. He's not laughing at you. He's laughing because someone sent him something.
Yeah, Lloyd sent me a text, and we've all made a grave mistake. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street.
Bad one?
No. Oh. No. I think we'll be okay. Hans and Scotty, this is, again, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keering.
Joined by Jaren Hall, quarterback at BYU.
You know, coming off a couple, not perfect seasons. You could tell that there were still some faith issues surrounding, ourselves and the fans, trying to figure out what type of team we are, what type of energy you want to bring. And then slowly over the years, as we kind of improved and started figuring out who we were, the fans started believing too, and slowly year after year, the stadium began to be a little more electric until last year, when they started selling out again and into this year. So it's just been really fun to see progress, not only our team, but the faith the fans have had, the love and support that they've given, taking the time out of their days to focus on us and give us love.
It's Unrivaled afternoons from 3 to 6, presented by G2G Bars, perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty and nutritious boost. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's your U Preview show. I know normally we do it on Thursdays, but there's some holiday coming up on Thursday. I will give you $20 if you stop
by. Yeah, what is it? 20? Yes. You can hear that?
Yeah.
I can hear it that time. What is it, Tom Brady Day?
Let's go, Tom Brady.
That's your, you know what? Tom Brady, in a matchup of Tom Brady and Joe Montana, Tom Brady would disappear.
Like a matchup, like what do you call, like what, like an actual football game?
Any.
Or playing darts?
Yep.
Or a little shuttle, or shuffleboard?
Beer commercials.
Beer. Yep. What is your fascination with Joe Montana?
Oh, I don't know. The greatest of all time. I don't know.
All right. God bless you, man.
Are you okay?
Yeah. What about embezzling money for poor people?
Now, Brett Favre's got that one done.
Oh.
Yeah.
What about cheating in Super Bowls? What about playing for a cheating team?
Technically, that was the AFC divisional.
What about... No, please. He didn't cheat in
Don't,
the Super Bowl.
Hey, what happened? When Joe Montana went to a different team? Did he win a Super Bowl?
What about...
Oh, no, he didn't.
What
he,
about deflating balls?
He lost as a member of the Chiefs. Couldn't even... Got to an AFC title game, but couldn't get over the hump.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
Did you see who was... Can you name any player on that team?
Christian Okoye.
Marcus Allen. Christian Okoye played with... Joe Montana.
Derek Thomas.
Derek Thomas. Good pull, Lloyd.
Thank you, Lloyd. At the latter end of his career. Latter end of a lackluster
career. What are you talking about?
My dad.
he died at the height of his career.
Absolutely. Dude was in his prime.
Whatever. You guys, you revisionist history here.
I know, because people can't remember that far back for your guy.
A bunch of recency bias.
Serious, right? Exactly. Thank you, Hans. Thank you.
You're just getting torched on this debate, and I just want to help a little.
By whom?
But people that actually know stuff?
Don't even say that.
You can't.
Don't even say
you argue.
That.
You can't. Thank you. You just can't do it.
You can.
Well, you can, just not well, but you can.
You can.
What about the greatest diver of all time? Is it Greg?
Louganis?
Is it Louganis? Because I have a feeling that you're going to go with Tom Hainsworth.
To be completely fair, I'm not familiar with another diver.
Okay. All right. Utah's going to play Colorado. They'll beat Colorado badly. I saw your stats.
How bad are those stats? You want me to go through them?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's listen to this.
All right. Here we go. There's 131 FBS teams in the country. 1-3-1. Colorado is 131st in rushing defense. 131st in third down defense, allowing 54% conversion. 131 in sacks per game. 130th in total defense. 127th in turnover margin. They're minus 12. 127th in turnover margin. They're minus 12. 125th in total offense. 121st in red zone offense. They've only got 13 touchdowns. They've got seven empty possessions. 116th in passing offense. 111th in rushing offense. 111th in passing defense. 110th in third down defense conversion. These are just some of the major stat areas.
Yeah, that's not great.
So, Scotty, as you know, doing the show with me now for
going on nine.
And I think this is our ninth season together.
Yeah.
You know, I put together the stat numbers for every team that BYU's playing and every team that Utah's playing every week. This is the worst compilation of numbers I have seen in our 9 years. Nine seasons doing this show together. I have never seen anything remotely close to these levels of pathetic numbers. And it makes me really sad because Colorado can be and should be much better than this. And you want to know what's weird? When I was putting these numbers together, the green logo with the Ram on it was not far away from any of these Colorado numbers. Colorado State is right next to them on so many levels.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of them that they'd worked themselves away, but I kept seeing Colorado State right next to Colorado, and I started just kind of going down along with it thinking,
so
How bad are things in Colorado football, in the state of Colorado football?
No, it's miserable.
Yeah. Why? It should be great, should it not?
Well, Colorado State's invested heavily in facilities. They built a brand new stadium. Colorado's got a ton of history.
Colorado has an NFL team that generates a ton of interest. Or does that take away from the interest of their FBS teams?
I don't know. It's a good question. Back in Frank's days, Colorado used to be really good. I mean, they co-national champions one year, right?
Yeah.
And as you would say, probably the best, the GOAT.
Who?
Has there ever been a team better than that Colorado team?
Eric Bieniemy.
You're so dumb.
Cordell Stewart.
You said that like you're not Adam Scott. Who's the guy from The Office?
Michael Scott.
But maybe. I mean, that may have been the best Colorado team. Was that the fifth down team?
Yeah, against Missouri.
That was a really good Colorado team.
Yeah, good coaching. I don't know what's happening in the
Bill McCartney? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening with the state of Colorado football. Colorado State, way back when. I mean, Urban Meyer had a stint at Colorado
State.
Yeah, he did.
With, what's his name? Now I'm forgetting his name, the coach at Colorado State.
I did the same. I forgot it right when you said the, but
Moses Moreno. How's that for?
Yeah, that's a good one. But Colorado
Sonny Lubick.
Colorado State.
Urban was on that staff with Sonny Lubick?
Yeah, it was like a tight end coach.
Was good. Like really a really competitive football team. Colorado has all of the resources to be a really competitive football program. But I go back to the thing I've said a long time about this. I don't think institutionally it's important for them to be good at football, so they're just not, it doesn't matter. So they're just not going to be good. Whatever. They'll just keep hiring coaches.
So Colorado doesn't care about it at all?
Does it look like they care about it?
I don't know.
Does it feel like they care about it?
Honestly, I'm not.
It's a good question. I'm not
tuned into that.
Are they like, you know, kind of like Cal or, you know, some of these other schools that know they have to have a football team and so they support it a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's not a huge priority for them?
I feel like that. There's certainly Stanford. There's certainly Cal. I feel like Colorado falls into that arena. I don't know about the Arizona schools. It feels to me like the Arizona schools are kind of trying.
It seems like they're trying, just not able to do anything.
Yeah, but not able to get it done. Utah is a good.
Well, Scotty was talking about Deion Sanders being rumored to
Arizona State?
No, that Colorado job.
Oh, Colorado.
Colorado and South Florida.
I guess one way to prove that you're in it to win it is dump a ton of money into a big name and see what they could do. Because we've seen some interesting hires from Colorado, but we've never seen the put it on a tee and just knock it completely out of the park type hire.
I think we talked about, I guess the jury's still out on Mel Tucker, but it felt like he had something going at Colorado. Yeah. And there was a reason that he left almost immediately. I think he just saw the writing on the wall. Like, he's not going to get any help.
Yeah.
So, who knows? I don't know if, to get Deion Sanders at Colorado would be a huge win. Could Deion Sanders succeed at Colorado? I don't know if he has I don't know if he has the leeway and support.
If they backed him up.
If they backed him, he would. Then he would. But he'll never go there.
Well, yeah, that's why I wouldn't go there, because you'll talk to people and say, hey, that school doesn't really want to support football that much. He needs to go somewhere with the SEC where he's got a blank check to do whatever he needs to.
That's true. That's exactly right. And he's a better fit in South Florida.
I kind of feel like, at least it feels like Deion has really pushed the message that he's invested in these HBCUs, that he really wants to build the brand of these historically black colleges. And if that's the case, you can't really do that in Colorado. But you can continue to do what you've done at Jackson.
For sure.
And he's done some great things. And whether he wants to admit it or not, he's put together some donors and some money to bring in some big-time recruits.
Yeah.
And to really start to open eyes and say, oh, well, this HBCU is pulling in some of the best talent in the country, some of the best African-American talent in the country. That's a statement that I think he's wanted to push. If he leaves that for Colorado, then it's like he's leaving what he, what I thought his work was.
Well, yeah, but could he continue that work on a larger scale? I mean, that, maybe that's a question you could, he could figure out. I think he's a fascinating individual, and he's a winner. It's like whatever he does, he just has this.
I would commit to him.
Attitude, right?
Because I know what he's about. He's about winning at all costs.
Yeah, and you can see that his team is with him. Like they're all engaged. And I don't know for sure. It seems like he treats everybody everybody gets a fair shot sort of deal.
Nowadays,
I think he could explore all of those things he wants to accomplish on a different setting and still accomplish all of those goals.
How much is winning important to you guys? I'm going to give you an option of, for instance, okay? Let's say you had one FBS offer, one, and it was Colorado. Or you had offers from Weber State, North Dakota. You have these FCS offers of these programs that just win. They win. That's all they do. They win. You know you're going to be in that tournament, and you're going to have 10, 11 wins in a season, and you're still going to get your NFL look. Maybe you get more of an NFL look at Weber State or at North Dakota.
You're talking about as a player.
As a player. Maybe you get more of an NFL look at one of those universities than you do at a Colorado. But Colorado is the only offer that you've got at the FBS level. Do you take the FBS offer and go lose? Or do you take your highest FCS offer and go win?
No, this is what I do.
Where's my NIL money?
I take the Colorado. I take the Colorado offer. I go out and play bananas, and then I transfer to. I call Lincoln Riley and I say, "Hey, would you like another all-star on your team?"
There you go.
But you could get that same thing out of Weber State and win. Nobody's going to be looking at you losing.
I hear what you're saying.
It just feels like losing begets losing.
I hear what you're saying, but. Weber State is attracting a different athlete. I'm not saying that there aren't players on the Weber State roster that translate to the next level. We've seen that. But how often? It's more likely for a Division I athlete to translate to a Division I FBS level than to move up through those ranks. Absolutely. People get lost. There's no question about it. And you'll have several spots on a roster in any of those programs that maybe should be and could probably be productive at the next level. But I don't think it happens as regularly. Where did Kincaid come from? I mean, he's a perfect,
San Diego.
He's a perfect example of that.
Yeah, from USD.
Yeah, so Kincaid is a guy that got lost.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Come by, say hi. We'll talk to Rich coming up here in a bit. Coming up next, though, we will continue to get you ready for Utah and Colorado right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Yogi Roth joins us now.
I didn't spend a lot of time in Salt Lake City prior to joining the Pac-12 network because it wasn't in the Pac-12 conference. Now being in it, I mean, I think it's the best city for college football in the Pac-12 footprint because it's a city, number one. You know, it's a big city. And you guys talk football year-round. I hate to say it, but it's like the SEC feel in college athletics, specifically football. And the difference is in the SEC, there's not much going on in a lot of those communities in the offseason. For you guys, there's a ton happening. And you're still talking who's going to win the quarterback derby in January. Or in June, and I just love that.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet, proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, before we get back to the Ute preview show, you can clap for this one as we're giving away Jazz tickets right now. Caller number 12.
Is this breaking news?
Yeah, 801-575-ZONE. You can hang out here if you want to, Frank.
Is this breaking news? I don't know what Hans did to my headset. If this is breaking news about, and you're going to give away Jazz tickets for the next hour, I'm out of here.
801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Jazz take on the Clippers November 30th at Vivint Arena.
Donovan Mitchell gets traded one time, and you throw a fit for the rest of the football season.
This will carry over into next year.
What did you say? For the rest of what?
The football season.
Football season. Oh, so we're in football season. Okay. I just wanted to clarify because it really felt like it was, not football season when we preempted an entire Utah preview show.
It was the start of the basketball season.
I don't believe that's true.
It started training camp.
Do you think we would have taken more grief for ignoring the Donovan Mitchell trade or having to set the Utah preview show aside and talk about the Donovan Mitchell trade?
And we would have loved for you to stick around and talk to him.
Yeah, we said, we'll do a dual Ute preview, Donovan Mitchell.
Can I do a reenactment? Scotty.
You threw shirt.
Am I going to be able to contribute to this? No, you won't contribute. You're welcome to stick around.
I didn't say won't contribute. I said you're welcome to stick around.
Anyway.
I know you're a big NBA fan.
Anyway.
Tickets right now. Jazz coming up. 801-575-ZONE.
Not to get out too far off topic here, but would you say the Jazz are playing surprisingly well right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that sums it up.
Admittedly, I don't.
Shockingly well.
I don't follow it that closely, but.
But you're happy to talk about it.
But I hear things. I hear.
In the world of upsetting losses, where did Utah, Oregon set for you?
No, not very upsetting. I mean,
was it as difficult a loss as the Florida loss for you?
No, because
me.
Because you had all the expectations. They were disappointing in kind of similar ways because Florida, we had such high expectations, and Utah didn't necessarily go out and perform to that level, especially on the defensive side. I think that was the first glance that we had of a defense that was going to be a work in progress. And so that was all of a sudden you felt like, wait a second, this isn't necessarily a Rose Bowl caliber, playoff caliber team. So that was disappointing with all the hype that went into that program.
Why is it as disappointing for you?
Because I felt like the defense gave you every opportunity and the offense that I felt like I could lean on. Gave me absolutely nothing.
It reverted. It became Utah football of yesteryear.
And I felt like the Pac-12 championship was resting on it.
It was.
Yeah.
And still, to this day, if a couple things go the right way, and not so crazy things go the right way, Utah still has a chance to go to the championship game. The biggest issue is that Oregon State has to beat Oregon. And so if that occurs and then Washington beats Washington State, UCLA beats Cal, Utah goes to the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a viability there. I was disappointed in the Oregon game because this is an offense that's scoring, 30-plus points per game that manufactured 10 points mm-hmm. in the game. 7 of the 17 came off of a defensive scoop and score, by the way, which could have been like fire the Oregon offensive coordinator on site for that play call in that situation. When they're running the ball pretty well, controlling things a little bit, they have the game in hand, and then they put in the backup quarterback to run a reverse near the goal line. Utah scoops it up and scores. I mean, that was insane. Anyway, But this is a Utah offense that has been so reliable. And I've been, very critical of Utah defensively throughout the year. Well, they stepped up and held Oregon to 20 points. Had you said to me several weeks ago, hey, if Utah holds Oregon to 20 points in Eugene, who wins that game? There would have been no question.
Yeah.
Utah wins that game.
10 out of 10.
But
I would have told you.
But they couldn't figure out a way to manufacture.
10 out of 10.
And ten out of ten. And that's the thing with Cam Rising.
Oregon gives up 300 yards of passing per game.
And
they gave up 170.
Didn't we say that if this game, if Utah played their best game and Utah and Oregon was a little bad, that's a win for Utah? Well, Oregon was not great. Three turnovers in that game. Mm-hmm. That's not something Oregon's done all year. Well, Utah then turns around and matches it. Here's three turnovers for you.
This game was extremely frustrating to me. It was extremely frustrating because I felt like you had Bo Nix wrapped up in a box, in a just gift boxed it to you because
no,
he couldn't move.
Right.
He had -3 yards rushing. He never got out of the pocket. He just stood there and hoped that great Oregon line that had only given up 2 sacks.
Without their center, by the way.
Could hold their pressure.
Yeah.
And they held the pressure. And Bo delivered.
Bo Nix only had one positive yardage run in that game.
You would think, well, if that was the case, you'd think, oh,
and
yeah,
he's a guy that has been very effective.
You've had to have him.
But I also think his limitations physically, he wasn't going to run.
No, you're right.
Yeah,
that's the point.
And
that's exactly the point.
That's what I'm leaning towards is, Scotty, that gave the defense an opportunity to be extremely aggressive at the pocket.
Extremely. Light him up.
And Clark Phillips did a great job outside of that one quick slant that led to the touchdown. Clark Phillips was probably one of his best games.
Very good.
Outside of that quick slant. But, man, I'm disappointed with the offense. And I'm going to show you one of these films that I did, Frank, because I've got some questions about Tavian Thomas in this game. I don't know if that was the right route to go. So you give a few carries to Jaquindon Jackson, and he did
and what
miracles with them.
Okay.
You give a carry to Dixon, and he does miracles with it. Or, wait, why is the name slipping my mind?
Mekhi?
Bernard? No, Dixon. Jalen Dixon.
Yeah. What? When is Utah offensively going to lower that percentage for Jalen Dixon of the percentage of touches to touchdowns? It's like 90% right now.
Yes. Yeah,
every time he touches the ball, he's scoring a touchdown. They need to lower that percentage.
Remember when
giving the ball more
another
often.
Touch and another touchdown last week.
Remember when some guy took over the Vikings when Randy Moss is there and we had like a Moss quota? He always talked about, we got to get the ball to Moss X amount of times a game.
Dennis Green?
No, I think it was Mike Tice or something like that.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. And he had like a Moss quota.
Yeah.
He told his coaches, we have to get him the ball X amount of times every game. I don't care how you manufacture it. I don't care how you do it. The Utes have to find a way to have a Jalen Dixon quota.
I agree.
You have to get that ball in his hands X amount of times a game.
Why wouldn't you?
I agree.
Think about the fourth downs that were not converted. Just put it in Jalen's hands. He has not let you down yet. And nobody's expecting it because you haven't done it on a fourth down. Anyway, that's beside the point. Sorry. I'm going to show you this carry with Tavian Thomas. There's backside pressure. There's a wide open outside.
I know the carry.
He takes the give.
Yeah.
Falls right into the backside pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand.
Utah got – okay, so here's my take on that whole thing. Utah is not convinced, like I am, that Jaquindon Jackson is the premier running back on that team. And Utah also got suckered into a false sense of security because Tavian Thomas had a breakout game against a terrible Stanford defense. So going into this game, the security blanket, Tavian Thomas, looks like he's ready to go. And it just didn't – he didn't look – he looked a little lethargic. off the ball. Like, he didn't have a spring off his step. He was indecisive.
I'm going to show you this play because I think he may have had the wrong play. I think he may have ran the wrong play.
Let's see it.
I'll show it to you. So, last thing about JaQuindon. Mm-hmm. There was an effort play by JaQuindon. Mm-hmm. Was it a third down or was it a fourth down? And it was like a third and two or a fourth and two?
It was something like it was that situation.
I think it might have been a fourth and two.
I think it was,
He was hit a yard and a half behind the line of scrimmage and torqued and twisted. And
found a way.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you didn't
exactly
see that
what
from
you're
Tavian.
Talking about. Nope. And that's what those things, his burst, his feel, his vision, like all of those things, athleticism, it just feels like Utah got stuck.
Yeah.
Not believing that the backup quarterback is actually your best running back.
Hey, this is Scotty live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. You come on by, Rich and the crew ready to hook you up with all kinds of great savings. Right now, you can get 2% financing on 14 different models. You get the forever warranty. They got 250 used vehicles to choose from. You can delay your payments well into 2023. No money down. They got the Rogues for as low as $429 a month, a Frontier as low as $299 a month, Pathfinders, Armadas, Muranos, which I drive and absolutely love. Savings going on right now. Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.